You're listening to the Fire Pit Podcast. Today we are discussing guilt-free relationships. I think for myself, when I was younger, my life was plagued with guilt relationships. Like, I felt guilty. I didn't call someone enough. I didn't spend enough time with someone. Someone's a family member. Someone thinks I'm a good friend, so I need to reciprocate. Like, all these things that you waste a lot of time. I think some of it is just life and you're learning new things. But in my 30s is when I really started to declutter things, kick people out, stop feeling guilty. Like, I just had this like profound revelation of, I was talking to a person that I was acquaintances with, and I was like, oh, we never talk, we never call, we never hang out. And I thought to myself, I didn't say it because it would have been inappropriate, even though it would have been the truth. There's a reason that we don't call each other. There's a reason we don't text each other. There's a reason we don't go out of our way to see each other. Maybe that's just the nature of the relationship. Why does every relationship have to like grow into this super deep connection? And I think the older that I get, the more I realize I have like one best friend, maybe two, and that's fine. I think that's okay. I think in my 20s, I had a lot of acquaintances, and then I had a lot of people that really didn't have my best interest at heart, and I would just make all these decisions based on guilt. And whereas now, you know, you and I talk because we want to, not because I feel like I have to, because you're my dad. So I think it's a much more freeing experience now.
I think when you were talking about when you were younger, we're all kind of approval hogs when we start out in this game of life. We look to our teachers, our parents, you know, look at me. Did I do good? You know, I got a star today. I got 100%. We're looking for that approval. And that's legitimate. I mean, how else do you know that you're doing something that is right, that gives your life a sense of value, except that you're getting some kind of outside head nod or something to let you know that you're doing good. You're doing good. I think at some point you need to start believing that yourself without necessarily needing that approval. I mean, a lot of us come into the adulthood stage of our life with a lot of baggage because either we didn't get the approval. I mean, you hear about men who are still looking for the approval of their fathers. Why was that so important? Well, yeah, it was important. But even though that was important, there does get to be a point where you have to look at it honestly and say, that day is gone. Does my life not meet some level in which I can say my life has value apart from that person's lack of ability or desire to show approval for me? And besides that, they're gone. I'm not going to get it at this point. I mean, your grandfather, my dad, didn't say it, but through his interpreter, my mother, I discovered that he really did approve of me and he really was proud of me. He just never either thought it was necessary or found the words to be able to say it. I still felt like I needed to hear it, though. There's something about hearing those words of, I'm proud of you, son, that was very meaningful. So anyway, those kind of things can scar you as you go into adulthood, but you do have to get to a point where you're okay. And, you know, when we're thinking about relationships and those that you hold as being valuable to you, they're generally the people that are willing to accept you for who you are, have a desire to go deeper and show an interest in the things of your life. And it's always amazing to me how many people have a very shallow perspective on friendship and how they look at others who they call their friends, whether it's because they're Facebook friends or they have some kind of superficial relationship because they happen to go to school together or work in the same job together. And they look at that maybe and they say, well, yeah, I've got, these are my friends. And I find myself wanting to say, well, define for me friend to you, because some of the people in your life, they're pretty superficial. But that's my perspective, by the way. And I think you can have that perspective if, on the other hand, you have deeper relationships that you find more satisfying and you're able to categorize and say, yeah, I've got some of those surface relationships and that's okay. I'm going to leave them there. But I really feel good about the ones that are deeper, the people who are asking me about my life, who really care enough to call me when they know that I'm hurting over something or I'm having to make a big decision and they go out of their way to try to help me think it through. Those are the kind of people that you run back to because those relationships run deeper and there's connections there. So I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I started looking at messages from friends or acquaintances and kind of judging the relationship by how many times I apologize. So if I apologize a lot, that's probably not a really good relationship. And I'm sorry I didn't do this. I'm sorry I didn't return your call. I'm sorry we haven't gotten together. I'm sorry. And just kind of realizing like, well, what if, like I said before, you're doing exactly what you want to do? Why is that bad?
Yeah.
Why should I, why is it not okay for me to say, I don't really 100% get along with this person. Therefore, I don't want to spend a lot of time with them. And I feel like that's such a no-no to say, and maybe a lot of other people that have more, you know, social fortitude than I do, just do it. For me, it's always been very difficult. So like I had a friend that we really clicked from day one, and it was just like a flash in the pan. Like you think of like the romance over the summer. It was like that. Not romantic, obviously, but like just very like fast. We connected very fast. And I felt like we were trying to put the pieces together of our relationship after the fact and realizing like we don't really have a lot in common. We have common interests in certain things that we're very passionate about, like certain like comedy movies. We're like one-liners from movies, like Step Brothers. We were quoting Step Brothers to each other when we met each other. And there's just a really cool experience to like feel someone on my level of like social energy. But then I felt for the rest of our relationship, which didn't last very long, we're just kind of putting all the pieces together and trying to like build a friendship out of not really anything that had much of a foundation. And I think that was like frustrating for both of us because we were both people pleasers. So then it got to a point where, you know, you try to make something work and then it just doesn't work. And then, you know, relationships work until they don't. And it's just the fact of life and just kind of like realizing, you know, even with trying to do certain goals that I have in my life, coming to the realization that I don't have time for this. Yeah. I did in my 20s because I didn't really have much going on, you know, and looking at like how I would like go out with my friends or why would I work out at 2 a.m. I had nothing else going on. I had no money. So my options were super limited. Whereas you get older, it's like, I don't have time for this. And I feel like a jerk at times telling people when they call me during the day in between meetings that I have to say, look, you have 20, I have 20 minutes, not you. That's pretentious. But like there are 20 minutes available for this. And I used to feel really bad about that. But then the older that I get, the more I realize that like time boxing that it is really important. It lets them now and they know, I know, it's agreed upon. You get the conversation in, because it's kind of like arrogant for me to think I'll only talk to people when it's convenient for me, when they may not be calling you when it's convenient for them. You know, they may be calling because they're making an effort in the relationship. So, yeah. But yeah, just the guilt-free thing. I've implemented it sometimes a little bit too heavy-handedly, but it's really great, because then it just kind of sifts out relationships that are really genuine and good, and you don't have as much time as you think you do.
Well, and I think, you know, you and I've talked before about the social media, and I have probably, I think, between 400 and 500 emails right now. Most of them are Facebook postings of somebody who posted something or other. And I found myself feeling kind of guilty because I'm not either liking or commenting or something on these different things. And I think to myself, you know, prior to social media and cell phones and the technology that allowed us to be instantly in the presence, at least virtually, of anybody, it's caused a problem. It's like I've been around people before when I've been talking to them and I'm trying to have a nice conversation, and then they get a text, and so they're looking down at their phone, and then they're just kind of using their thumb to answer something, and then they continue with the conversation, and I'm thinking, you know, I may be old school, but that seemed kind of rude that people feel that they can just interrupt. Well, obviously the person who was texting them didn't know that we were having a conversation, but it's this instant ability to interrupt anyone at any point in time through technology that's kind of caused a disruption in communication. So that this, if it's only for a moment, you lose a little bit of track of what the conversation was all about because you had this interruption that came while you were having this discussion. And I have a problem with that, because here's one of the things that I try to practice to do. When I'm in the presence of somebody physically, I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. I'm making eye contact. I'm listening to what you're saying, as long as my hearing aids are turned up. And I'm trying to give a response that lets you know that I'm listening and that I care about what you're saying. Lots of people have a problem with that. Lots of people feel more comfortable texting or emailing or phone calling or something like that because they don't want the eye contact. They don't want the, you know, or they want to be able to do it all, which I guess that's probably the bigger problem, is that people who are trying to do it all and then find themselves, you know, falling into this guilt trip that we're talking about, wow, I feel guilty. I really, you know, I was in a store one time and I ran across somebody I hadn't seen in a long time, and I found myself saying, we need to get together sometime. And I'm thinking, I haven't seen this person in 15 years. Now, why did I say that? It was guilt. And yet, I know I'm not going to do that. They're just trying to be nice. It's kind of like when we say, hi, how you doing? I'm doing fine. It's kind of meaningless. It's just a gesture that you make when you meet somebody that just, you know, I'm here, you're there, I'm recognizing you, I'm saying these words. But they don't have anything beyond shallow meaning. It's just a cordial connection that you're making. But at the end of the day, you've only got so much time in your life for the development of relationships and all the other things that you're doing. And I know for myself, I find myself pursuing the deeper relationships more now and feeling less guilty about dismissing some of the other stuff, the other chatter that comes up every once in a while, whether it's on Facebook or whether it's somebody that I happen to run into. I'm not making any kind of commitments anymore, not doing it, because I know it's just not going to happen. I don't have time for it. But I am going to make time for you, for your mom, for your sisters, for friends that I want to pursue a deeper relationship with. I'm actually calling people now, which is interesting. And asking about, hey, let's get together, you know. But it's a purposeful, proactive type of outreach where I really do want to, I'm not just trying to resolve some kind of guilt complex. I'm actually desiring to have a deeper relationship with that person, and I want to check in on them and see how they're doing. And that's a good thing, because I do have some friends that I consider close, and they consider me a close friend, but they will never call me. It's just not something that they think about a lot, but they always love it when we get together. So I've just kind of resolved that I'm going to be the initiator, and that's okay. I've got a friend like that now. I called him and I said, hey, how's it going? Let's get together. And he said, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And he jumped at it, and we got together and we talked, and he told me everything was going on in his life, and it was wonderful. But it's probably going to be a long time before that person actually initiates that call to me. And I had to be okay with that, because that's just where they're at. It's not that they don't value the relationship. It's just that they're not the kind of person who initiates that stuff. And that's okay.
Well, I've started adjusting, like, how I interact with people based on either generation or preference. Like, there are certain people on other family members that I have to call them. I can't text them. Texting is more efficient for me, but it doesn't really, like, for them, they just don't. Of a certain generation, texting is like writing an email or writing a letter. It's like a very painstaking situation. You can't just, like, fire things off. At least not until they're more acclimated to it. But like with people like this that you're talking about, like that friend, there are sometimes people that are just face to face and it went out of sight, out of mind. But when you're together, mm-hmm. it's amazing. But just like keeping up lines of communication that maybe it feels more superficial to them. And to the point that you were making before about saying things out of guilt, I would get in trouble. We would go to parties and I would vibe with everybody, of course, because I'll kind of adapt myself to be desirable in a conversation. So I learned that at a young age, trying to fit in with people. Like, I can have a conversation with you about anything. At the end of it, you'll probably feel more of a positive feeling towards me, because I would have reciprocated information that you would find interesting. And it could be anything, like mm-hmm. trains, engineering, physics, software, acting, whatever. It doesn't matter. Anything, I can talk about anything and everything. Well, the bad thing is I would start these relationships that in my mind are very shallow, and I'm just playing this little game. These people are like really engaging me and they're like, oh my gosh, like I haven't met someone that actually wants to talk about, like I talked to a guy one time about an hour and a half about making fly fishing lures, no joke. But I've learned that art of conversation that this guy was like wanting to go into business with me. So like at the end of parties, I will say, hey, let's get together. Let's get in contact. And even worse is I would be like, let's get together like Tuesday. So then the next day, Daniela's like, okay, so here's the damage. We have to get together with this person Tuesday. You double booked with another person. Apparently we're having a party Friday at our house. And I would be like, oh my gosh, what happened? Like, she was like, you just mindlessly invite all these people or tell all these people you're going to go out with them, and these people really like you and they really want to hang out with you. Do you even like these people? And some of them like, nah, they're fine. But she's like, you're being disingenuous, and you don't really care about, she'll even ask me at parties. She'll be like, do you really care about this? I'm like, no, I'm just passing the time. We had a guy, as a quick side note, to give you an idea of how bad this is, when we bought our AC, the guy came over and sold us the AC. This dude talked for like 4 hours about whatever. It was complete nonsense. He was not the brightest bulb. And I don't mean that to be mean. I'm just saying that just like things he would say are just like comical.
Mm-hmm.
Like not just dumb things. And I just sat there, just talked to him for 4 hours. And then it got to the end. I was like, what's the price? No, I don't like that. We'll pay this, that. And we did the deal in like 30 seconds. And she's like, you just sat there for 4 hours and did nothing. And I guess I just got so used to it in making conversation or letting someone talk about themselves so that I would be liked that I didn't really consciously participate in the interaction for my own joy or for myself to like it. So I've broken that habit of planning ahead because I would plan ahead with everybody and their dog. And so now I don't do that anymore. It's just, nice to meet you. That's it. I end it.
That's
whereas
right.
Before I'd be like, let's do lunch. Let's do that. And she's just like, no, because these people are really thinking that you're serious.
You know,
she'd have to cancel. She'd have to come behind me and cancel all the meetings that I was making at a party.
You know, it's interesting. And when you think about it, there's something magic about the moment that you step across the aisle with somebody and enter into their world and show an interest in the stuff that they have an interest in. And all of a sudden their eyes start to light up and wow. Because everybody wants to be heard. Everybody wants somebody to show an interest in their life. And heaven only knows who was the last person that showed an interest in their life. So here you are, not only somebody who's shown an interest in their life, but you actually know enough to talk intelligently about the things that they care about. And so they're eating that up because, again, when was the last time somebody asked them about themselves? I think so many times I'm having a conversation with somebody and they go on and on and on and on about themselves and you're kind of waiting for that point where they're going to say, so what do you think about that? Or where are you at in life? Or what do you think about the price of tomatoes? You know, anything at all about you, it just goes right over their heads and they don't even think about that. But they totally eat up the fact that you've shown this incredible, what they just perceive to be interest in their life when all you're really doing is making conversation.
I think that's a really interesting point, and it kind of sheds light on that for me because I have always wondered that because I'll get – and it seems like you always get that person. But I think it's really what you're saying, what you said before or what you just said, that no one's asked them about themselves. And it's like, well, what happens? Like in normal interactions, people just like talk at each other about themselves and then they leave. Like it's just, to my mind, it's just a pointless interaction. But I guess for most people, that's what, you know, well, I need to talk at you about what I do. It's like, why? What are they listening? It doesn't matter. I don't need them to listen. I'm just going to tell them. It's like, do you know what conversation is? But I think that's probably more true than not that mm-hmm. no, not even their own spouse. Like I'll ask spouses, what does your husband do? Or wife? No clue. I'm like, how long have you been married? Oh, 5, 6, 10 years. I'm just like, oh my gosh, dude, like what do you talk about? But it's amazing to me, but I think you're right. I think most people don't get asked about themselves.
Well, and if you ask your counselor wife, how many times do you find yourself in a conversation where all of a sudden you're having your hard time extracting yourself because they're like this sponge that's all dried up and all of a sudden they're being filled up with this attention that they're getting from this person who's making eye contact and giving, you know, and responding to them. And they're just like, Lord, everybody else ignores me, but this person is sure. There's a lot of people out there that are like that. And I guess, like you're saying, you're the one that has to finally turn it off or to see what's happening and know how to extract yourself from it and not make any commitments that you don't intend to fulfill.
Yeah. And I've had to work on not being so engaging that, like, I've noticed this when we'll talk, like we'll have a meeting with someone and she'll tell me, like, don't keep agging them on. I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, you keep asking follow-up questions to, like, open up other doors when I can tell from social cues, she can tell from social cues that they're trying to terminate the conversation. Mm. And I'll just be like, well, isn't that interesting? This, and then they'll go on to that because they're not going to be rude. But I was like, huh? She's like, no, you'll do that. She goes, if you're trying to kill time or you want them to really like you or you want to entertain yourself because you have to sit here for another hour, you'll just keep asking them like these obscure questions about stuff and they'll just go on and on and on. But it's your fault. You're doing it. And so I've had to be like, okay.
She definitely has your number. I found myself in situations where I'm mindful of the time. Like I was with a group of guys and we're doing this study and I'm always getting thoughts coming to my mind that I could say something about. It's just continual. And I could dominate a conversation very easily, but other people need to speak. And watching the time, you know that we only have so much time, so you have to be aware that, okay, that's an interesting thought you just had, but let's just save that for another time. Or in the case like what you're saying, if there's a need to end the conversation and extract yourself, you do have to find a, you have to become aware of what's going on and either stop talking or find a way to gracefully bow out. And, you know, it's been nice talking to you. That's great. And then just move on. Because again, yeah. I think once you become aware of how thirsty people are for communication and the freedom to be able to talk about their lives to somebody who actually shows care, I'm telling you, there's a never ending supply of people lined up for that because it's not free out there. It's not just running in the streets. I would say, and I can't say this obviously for sure, but there's got to be a majority of people out there that don't get fed emotionally from people who care about them. And even though you may not know these people, think about that. Some of those parties, you didn't know those people. You're just showing an interest in them. All of a sudden, they're just kind of like, holy smokes, you know, they're drawn to you. And the next thing you know, the spigot is open and they're just running their mouth like crazy because they're loving it and you're feeding it. And that may be okay, but you just have to be aware of what you're doing.
I mean, I've had entire relationships. Like, I think my first girlfriend just fell in my lap and I was like, well, you know, she likes you. You should like her. That was a year relationship. Yeah. I was like, no, you should have never gotten into a relationship with this person. But to me, I'm like, you know, I don't want to rock the boat. It's like, and at that point in my life, I'm just not participating in my life. And then I want to complain. And it's like, well, you're not playing the game, but you're going to reap the consequences. And I think in conclusion, I was going to say too, that's my guess is that we're wrapping up is pause. Well, no, I mean, I didn't mean that in a bad way. I just meant like,
don't apologize.
Sorry. I shouldn't apologize in letting the conversation die and just pause with pauses is so excruciating for me. But just kind of, I'll watch people do it and he says something, the other guy says something and they're like, and then they both separate. I'm like, wow, I have to learn that.
That's a good thing. And in conclusion for me, I mean, this is beneficial. You and I both, I think, have had to learn to properly assess some of our relationships at this stage in our life and realize that there will always be acquaintances. There will always be people that you will know on the fringes but there will only be a select few people who you're going to have a deep relationship with, and you need to continue to feed that. And if you're not careful, you find yourself pulled by all these people on the fringes, and you end up suffering in your relationships with the ones that you really want to have the deeper relationship with, because you're not making time for it. So it's a hard decision to make sometimes, and some people are offended by that because you're not, you know, and you can hear the guilt in their voices and everything else. You just have to know that you've consciously made a decision that I'm only going to pursue to a greater extent certain people, because that's what I'm making time for, that's what I have time for, and that's it. So, and I'm done. Yeah.
That's it. Okay. That was a good one.
Yeah.
It's been a while. Like 3 months, I think, since we did one.
Yes. So I'm glad we did it. All right, buddy. Take care.
All right, Dad. All right, bye.